Okay, Sunday morning, 3:27:22. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. And this title of this is called Change Your Timeline. That's what I mean, the word that I just had for Danny about not understanding. You're going through things you don't understand, and it makes you grievous. It makes you where you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. You don't even want to leave the house. You feel like, I just can't do it anymore, Lord. I'm just so weary. But then he lets you see a little insight into his plan and his thinking about it, and it flips our timeline, doesn't it? We can walk out of it and think, you know, I see it. That helps me. That helps me to see it your way, and I see it. Your way is a whole lot different than the way I've been seeing it. I've just been basing it on what I feel or what I am experiencing. But God, when he says something, it's like it's a refreshing that comes. Oh, well, I never viewed it that way. It is part of my cross, right? That the Lord has required that we all take up our cross and follow him. He didn't say it would be easy, but he said his grace would be sufficient. So that's kind of what we're going to look at today. You were made in the image and likeness of God. When God saw the earth without form and void, the pile of rubble where Satan had been, what did God do? He said is what he did. He reinstated it back to the way it was before. He didn't mourn. Oh, my beautiful earth, what shall I do? He did not wring his hands in exasperation. He had his say, and all turned out his way. We have been made in his likeness and his image. All right, Genesis 1:26. Read this many times. But we need to be reminded of who we are and who we're made after. Not after your father and mother so much, but after the image and likeness of God, as a child of God. And God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. What is that image and likeness? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And you can go on, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And he rested on the seventh day. This is what God did. He gave you the say. This is Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. So he has placed you here and he's given you the call. You make the call. Absolutely, totally. We do not have to settle and just roll with the punches, but there is a key here. The key here is believing. Mark 11. Believing. Mark 11, first we're going to look at verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all the things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come for Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They just roll with the punches. Well, it is what it is. No. He said, I'll fix you. But no, I don't think had anything to do with the fig tree. He was going to teach his disciples a faith lesson. Right here. Verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Jesus just made the call in the situation. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, entering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, shall believe what? God's word? No. Didn't say that. And shall not, let me read this again, but be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. As we know, Jesus didn't look back and look and see if the tree dried up. It was Peter that observed that the tree had dried up. Jesus was just using he's made in the image and likeness of God as the Son of God on the earth. So what did he do? He just spoke to what wasn't favorable. He made the call in the situation and he just went on about his business. He didn't have to look back to see if it happened. He just did. We need to get in the habit of just speaking these words. And also not thinking we've got to do it over and over, 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 and over, and over. But just once. See, it's about us believing. It's not about God believing. God already believes. It's about us believing. All right. We have lived our whole lives under Satan's narrative and become disciplined in unbelief. Satan is after the souls of men, their minds, their wills, and their emotions. He seeks full control. This is our time to completely break free by renewing our minds to God's way. This is the way the kingdom of God operates. That's what Jesus was showing them. He brought the gospel of the kingdom. It's different than the gospel they share normally. Well, you know, you need to get born again. If you don't, you know, you'll go to hell. La, 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 la. I'm not faulting anybody who brings a soul to the Lord, but I'm thinking about what's the gospel of the kingdom. It's not just speaking words with nothing to back it up. It's actually putting words into action. If you see somebody do something and they speak like Jesus spoke to the fig tree, you're going to say, they got it. They got it. They're not just a bunch of talk. All my life I've heard that talk, and I'm no better than I was, but I see them doing it. I see them doing it in demonstration. I see the fruit in their life. I see they get what they say. That's the gospel I want to follow. Now you can see why the prosperity gospel has come under such, you know, flack from the enemy. He stirred up people to try to come against it. Because you cannot walk in the kingdom of God and not become rich. If you're following God, it's just part of it. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. We've had several young people ask us, how do you get a house like this? Follow God. Oh, you know, like, how do you do that? All right. Only imagine a penny for your thoughts. Remember the movie, Somewhere in Time. He's so focused on a time in the past that he actually went there. I've heard that this is actually possible. I've heard Gene Decode say he actually does that. There's a favorite place that he has. And if he gets focused on that and he puts everything out of his mind and focuses, he said, I am there. It's kind of like in the movie when he saw the penny that was from the future. It took him back to his reality. Yeah. He was actually transported to where he imagined. I believe this is the kingdom way. I do. I think this is our future. All right, Amos 9:13. I want to read that scripture to you because I think this kind of applies to that. I believe that's the same way it is with God. There is no time. It's just, you know, you think that you're there. I know Cat Kerr said that in every mansion that's in heaven, they have a portal. And they could say, I want to go to here today, and they're there. Think about that. Traveling at the speed of thought. Think about your prayers traveling at the speed of thought. I know that's a little bit out there today, but hey, the kingdom of God is out there compared to where we've been living. All right. 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and the hill shall melt. Think about that. Before you can even get it in the ground, you're already harvesting. Before you can plant it, it's already a crop. Traveling at the speed of thought, is there any such thing? There isn't a kingdom of God. We're coming into a new dimension and a new millennial where we are going to be walking in the kingdom of God. We're going to be teaching people how to walk in the kingdom of God. No more of this old school, old guard, old crap, as far as I'm concerned. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Just doctrine that had no power. See, the doctrines of men nullified the word of God. It's a thought before you can even speak it, it's there. There's a scripture, I think I have it down here, about the one where before they ask, I'll answer. Well, it was a thought. That's why. In the kingdom of God, this is the way it will be. Isaiah 65:24, that's it. You feel it? You sense what I'm sensing? The Lord's been stretching us, getting us out of the traditional box and the pushing us a little bit further in our thinking. Okay. All right, 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. Time travel. I've heard about it for years now. We've seen many movies. We've been programmed through movies about time travel. Back to the Future is a prime example. The space-time continuum, which I have heard is actually real. All right. They've had this technology for a long time, but it has been suppressed from us. But others have used it. We will do this and probably could do this even now if we believed. We wouldn't need their machines. Philip was translated in the Spirit. I've heard Jesse Duplantis say, one day this cloud came into his car and he ended up somewhere a couple hours away. He didn't know how he got there. Time travel. He does time travel. He looks down those spokes of that wheel of that chariot, like in Ezekiel, and he sees time back. He sees all. And he can go anywhere he needs to go at any time. That's what I believe about it. All right. Satan has dumbed us down through all their tactics to destroy us. He's dumbed us down. We've been deceived. We fell asleep. We will bring more on this later in this word. Okay, I want you to think about all the painful things that you've experienced in your life. We don't have to live there. I don't want that timeline any longer. I told the Lord, I said, I refuse to live on this timeline anymore. We can choose to focus on what we do want. Will we get it? Yes, we will. The Lord and even Q has said over and over that the best is yet to come. You can choose what master you want, and it all has to do with your thinking. Time to change your timeline from death to life. It's merely a decision. A lot of people choose to look in the past and all the hurts that they have experienced, and that's how they live. And I believe it shortens their life probably as a result. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 19:26 is the first one. You could say we're still being red-pilled. 19:26. But Jesus said, behold them, and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I remember Gene talking about an incident where his timeline completely changed, and his best friend in the town they lived in a certain house. And he said he went down the street, the house no longer existed, and he never saw his friend again. His timeline changed. And I'm thinking, whoa, whoa. He said, you talk about the Mandela effect where people remember things that were, no, it's this way. No, I don't remember it that way. I remember it this way. This is what they're talking about. No, on 9/11, this happened. No, it didn't happen. This happened. That messes with your mind, doesn't it? Like, no. People swear, no. I remember a time where they were talking about the Capitol was in the White House, and now it's at a separate place. And I'm thinking, when did that happen? As far as I know, they've always been separate. Mm-hmm. I think it was that. I'm thinking, what's going on here? All right. Let me keep going. Don't squirrel out on me. Because I'm going, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I don't understand everything you're saying to me, and I'm trying to get and discern it properly to bring it to y'all. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things, altering your timeline, all things. I don't want to live the way I have had to live. I didn't know for so long that I had something to do with it. I just rolled with the punches. I came out a very angry person because of it. All right, Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. You have been created in the image of God, and he has given you an imagination so that you can have what you say. This is how he created, and this is how you create. Same way. I'm to the point that I'm really in a place to where I don't want to hear anybody else tell me what I need to do. Yeah. You need to go out there and run for office, or you need to go to school board, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. I'm thinking, I don't need to do anything. You go do that. Leave me alone. I will do what God wants me to do and not what you think I ought to do. That's going on all over the place. And if you're not doing it their way, then you ain't doing nothing. Well, we could take that same stance. All right. So, why then are we just rolling with the punches and living on barely get along street? One of Brother Hagin's deals, he barely get along street. Next to Grumble Alley, yeah. Imagine yourself where you want to be in your health, in your wealth, in all the affairs of your life. How do we start this? And God saw the earth without void and form. Darkness was upon the face of the waters, and God said, light be, and light was. Let me read that again. Imagine yourself where you want to be in your health. He's given us an imagination to meditate on what we want, and then when we get that image clear in us, we can speak it, and it happens. That's how you change things. Hold on to it and do not back down. It will come to pass, for God does not lie. I recently read a devotion by Kenneth Copeland where God said to him that anytime anyone asks for healing, that he always answers. God always does his part. The problem is the recipients don't do their part. He said, now when I pray, I don't feel bad about it if they don't get it, if they don't receive it, because God always does his part. Always, he says. Always is what God told him. The one thing that I have learned about God, he expects us to act like it is so before it is manifest, and this is where most people miss it. Yeah. They think, well, if it's not over in a couple of days, we're going to the doctor. Or we're going to the banker. Am I right? All right. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I've made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Anybody can believe if they already see it. I don't take any faith to believe something you already see. And most people live their lives, well, if I don't see it, I ain't going to believe it. I know Brother Hagin prayed for a woman, a minister, that had a wonderful ministry. And she saw people in the prayer line get healed before her and after her. She said, I prayed for her, and she said, no, it's not well. She said, I'm not going to believe something that I can't see. Well, then she said, you might as well go and sit down because you ain't going to get nothing. And she didn't. And she had to eventually resign her church. All right. Anybody could believe if they saw it. This is how the world operates. Well, I can't believe it if I'm having symptoms. Wrong. Believing while you are having symptoms is faith. See, Satan appears as an angel of light, and he also appears in other ways to make you think things are certain ways when actually they're not. When God already answered and already said, yes, my word says, by his stripes ye were healed, but I feel this. See, that's the part that probably trips people up more than anything, because they've not been taught how to walk by faith. They don't understand faith. They don't. All they've taught was, well, you know, a few days, if it don't work out, we'll go see the doctor. That's just the way they've been raised under this system. All right, Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When you walk in the kingdom, there's nothing but, it's just good. It's just good. But do we have to wait for the millennia to get there? No, we don't. We already had the kingdom of God inside of us. We can operate the kingdom at any time we want. There will be a time when it will be like this. No more pain or suffering, no more sorrow. Do we have to wait till the millennium for that to happen? No, because when we ask, he always answers. Jesus came to alter Satan's timeline and rescue mankind out of it. We were on a timeline of destruction. Everywhere Jesus went, it was to destroy the works of the devil. He changed people's timelines. The man with an unclean spirit, that's Matthew 1:23, Luke 4:33. Peter's mother-in-law, Matthew 8:14, Mark 1:30. Multitudes helped, Matthew 8:16, Luke 1:32, and John 4:40. Cast out demons, Luke 1:34. Cleansed leper, Matthew 8:2, Luke 1:40, and John 5:12. Man with palsy, no longer had palsy, Matthew 12:10, Luke 2:3, John 5:18. Man with a withered hand healed, Matthew 12:10, Luke 3:1, and John 6:6. Multitudes helped again in Matthew 12:15 and Luke 3:10. Madman of Gadara delivered of demons, Matthew 8:28, Luke 5:1, and John 8:26. Jairus' daughter raised up from a deathbed, Matthew 9:18, Luke 5:22, John 8:41. woman healed with the issue of blood, Matthew 9:20, Luke 5:25, and John 8:43. A few sick people were healed, Matthew 13:58, and Luke 6:5. Again, multitudes helped, Matthew 4:34, Luke 6:55. The Syrophoenician's daughter delivered, Luke 15:22, John 7:24. Deaf and dumb man healed, Luke 7:24. Blind man healed, Luke 8:22. Child with an unclean spirit delivered, Matthew 17:14, Luke 9:14, John 9:38. Blind Bartimaeus healed, Matthew 20:30, Luke 10:46, John 18:35. The centurion's servant healed, Matthew 8:5, John 7:2. Two blind men healed, Matthew 9:27. The dumb demoniac delivered, Matthew 9:32. The blind and dumb demoniac delivered, Matthew 12:22, John 11:14. More multitudes touched, Matthew 4:23, John 6:17. More multitudes, Matthew 9:5. It goes on and on. More multitudes, Matthew 11:7, John 7:21. More multitudes, Matthew 14:14. Luke 9:11, John 6:2, great multitudes. Matthew 15:30, great multitudes. Matthew 19:2, blind and lame in the temple. Matthew 21:14, the widow's son raised from the dead. Luke 7:11, Mary Magdalene and others delivered of demons. Luke 7:11, woman bound by Satan. John 13:10, man with dropsy healed. John 14:1, 10 lepers cleansed. John 17:11, Malchus's ear recovered. John 22:50, more multitudes. Luke 5:15, various persons. Luke 13:32, the nobleman's son. John 4:46, the impotent man walking. John 5:2, man born blind can see. John 9:1, and Lazarus raised from the dead. John 11:1. Every one of the people in the four Gospels that Jesus ministered to, their timelines were changed as a result of their healing. Whole new life. We don't have to wait for the kingdom of God before we can experience this. The kingdom of God is inside you. We just need to renew our minds to kingdom ways, and then we will do what Jesus said we would do, greater works than He. On a personal note, how would your timeline be today if certain people in your life had not died? So many people are held captive by these kinds of things. There is a certain someone that we know that just went to bed and didn't get up. Well, I say we must act like everything that God says is ours is so, and this will keep us mentally open to God's impossibilities, or are they possibilities? We must stop going places in our minds that are in the past that cause us not to move forward. We are not victims, but victors. We make the call. Satan is just the intruder in our thoughts. That's why our warfare is taking captive the thoughts of the intruder and casting them down. When you cast them down, stomp them. Even when the lady saw that her son was dead, what did she say? All is well. What happened? She received her dead back to life again. We're going to read some scriptures now. 2 Kings 4. That probably is that scripture, 2 Kings 4. The Lord's trying to stretch us. He's trying to get us to start believing Him for more. Don't just settle into your little what you've learned and that's it. The Lord wants to stretch us for even greater things. He wants us to prepare ourselves for what people call miracles. This is how Jesus operated. This is how the kingdom operates. It's not like the dead, dry church that we've experienced all of our life with no power. Second Kings 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets and Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest. Wait a minute. I don't want to read all of that. I want to. Just a minute. Let me find it. All right. Let's just start with verse 8 there. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constraineth him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Lord, just quicken to me, if you could alter your timeline to where painful events would not happen in your life, that you wouldn't be even living in the memory of those horrible things, would you do it? And I thought, in a minute. And he said to Gehazi's servant, Call the Shunammite. When he called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. When he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on his knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. See, this son was conceived on God's promise. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him that today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi's servant, Behold, yonder is a Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone. For her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay up my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. What was this thing about this Shunammite woman? It says, He perceived that her soul was vexed, but she did not say a word. Not one negative word. Except saying, I didn't ask for this child, but you gave me a promise from God for this child. Jacob thought his son was dead, but one day he found out that he was alive. This is Genesis 45. what he thought was true and what took years off of his life, he found out was not true. Genesis 45:25. And they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan to Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Something he believed for 17 years. All right. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God is not limited, and neither should we be. We must get used to operating like God operates. Every person and everyone associated with these events I gave reference to you today all had their timelines changed. They went from death to life. Satan has infiltrated the whole earth and has dumbed us down so that we don't know just how powerful in God that we are. We have been made in his image and likeness. Don't believe me? I would like to reread to you something. This is called the Secret Covenant. Have you read it? This is written by Rothschild. He's dead now, but I forget the name of the Rothschild. Let me look here. Anyway, this is Satan's timeline, called the Secret Covenant. An illusion. It will be so large, so vast, it will escape their perception. Those who will see it will be thought of as insane. These are the conspiracy theorists. We will create separate fronts to prevent them from seeing the connection between us. We will behave as if we are not connected just to keep the illusion alive. Our goal will be to accomplish one drop at a time so as to never bring suspicion upon ourselves. That's why they move so slow, so you don't notice. This will also prevent them from seeing the changes as they occur. We will always stand above the relative field of their experience, for we know the secrets of the absolute. We will work together always and will remain bound by blood and secrecy. Death will come to he who speaks. We will keep their lifespan short. This is the Khazarian Mafia, by the way. We will keep their lifespan short and their minds weak while pretending to do the opposite. We will use our knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so that they will never see what is happening. We will use soft metals, aging accelerators, and sedatives in food and water, also in the air. They will be blanketed by poisons everywhere they turn. The soft metals will cause them to lose. A minute. Their minds. We will promise to find a cure for many of our fronts, yet we will feed them more poison. Big pharma. The poisons will be absorbed through their skin and mouths, and they will destroy their minds and reproductive systems. From all of this, their children will be born dead, and we will conceal this information. The poisons will be hidden in everything that surrounds them and in what they drink, eat, breathe, and wear. We must be ingenious in dispensing the poisons, for they can see far. We will teach them that the poisons are good with fun images and musical tones. Those they look up to will help. They will see our products being used in films and will grow accustomed to them and will never know their true effect. Thing is, it's not what goes in the man that defiles him. Even in all of this, they can't hurt us. So remember that as I read this. When they give birth, we will inject the poisons into the blood of their children and convince them it's for their health. We will start earlier when their minds are young, and we will target the children in what the children love most, sweet things. When their teeth decay, we will fill them with metals, and that will kill their mind and steal their future. When their ability to learn has been affected, we will create medicine which will make them even sicker and cause other diseases for which we will create even yet more medicine. We will render them docile and weak before us by our power. They will grow depressed, slow, and obese, and when they come to us to help, we will give them more poison. We will focus their attention towards money and material goods so that they may never connect with their inner self. We will distract them with fornication, external pleasures, and games so that they may never be one with the oneness of it all. Their minds will belong to us, and they will do as they say, they will do as they say. If they refuse, we shall find ways to implement mind-altering technology into their lives. We'll use fear as our weapon. We'll establish governments and establish opposites within. We will own both sides. That's both sides of the wars that they continually produce. We'll always hide our objective by carrying out our plan. They will perform the labor for us, and we shall prosper from their toil. Our families will never mix with theirs. Our blood must be pure always, for it is the way. We will make them kill each other when it suits us. We will keep them separated from the oneness by dogma and religion. We will control all aspects of their lives and then tell them what to think and how. We will guide them kindly and gently, letting them think that they are guiding themselves. We will foment anonymously between them through our factions. When a light shall shine among them, we shall extinguish it by ridicule or death, whatever suits us best. We will make them rip each other's hearts apart and kill their own children. We will accomplish this by using hate as our ally and anger as our friend. The hate will bind them totally, and never shall they see that from their conflicts we will emerge as the rulers. They will be busy killing each other. They will bathe in their own blood and kill their neighbors for as long as we see fit. We will benefit greatly from this, for they will not see us if they cannot see. We will continue to prosper from their wars and from their deaths. We will repeat it over and over until our ultimate goal is accomplished. We will continue to make them live in fear and anger through images and sound. We'll use all of the tools we have to accomplish this. The tools will be provided by their labor. We will make them hate themselves and their neighbors. We will always hide the divine truth from them that we are all one. This they must never know. They must never know that the color is an illusion. They must always think that they are not equal. Drop by drop, we will advance in our goal. We will take over their land, resources, and their wealth to exercise total control over them. We will deceive them into accepting laws that will steal the little freedom that they will have. We will establish a money system that will imprison them forever, keeping them and their children in debt. When they shall band them together, we shall accuse them of crimes and present a different story to the world, for we shall own all the media. For we will use our media to control the flow of information and then slant it in our favor. When they rise up against us, we will crush them like insects, for they are less than that. They will be helpless to do anything, as they will have no weapons. We will recruit some of their own to carry out our plans, and we will promise them eternal life. But eternal life they will never have. You know, I told you, they think, because they're doing the bidding of these people that are not even human, that they're going to get a better life and all these privileges, but he aims to kill them too. Never have, for they are not one of us. The recruits will be called initiates and will be indoctrinated to believe false knights or false rites of passage to higher realms. The members of these groups will think that they are one with us, never knowing the truth. They must never learn the truth, for they will turn against us. For their work, they will never be rewarded with earthly things and great titles, but never will they become immortal and join us. Never will they receive the light and travel the stars. They will never reach the highest realms. That's where all that garbage UFO crap's coming from. They will never reach the higher realms of the killing of their own kind will prevent the passage to the realm of enlightenment. The truth will be hidden in their face so close that they will not be able to focus on it until it's too late. Oh yes, oh grand illusion of freedom will be that they will never know how they are slaves. When all is in place, the reality that we will have created for them, we will own them. The reality will be their prison. They will live in self-delusion. When our goal is accomplished, a new era of dominion will begin. Their minds will be bound by beliefs, beliefs that we have established from time immemorial. But if they ever find out that they are our equal, we shall perish then. This they must never know. If they ever find out that they can vanquish us, they will take action. They must never ever find out we have done what we have done. For if they do, we shall have no place to run, for it is easy to see who we are once the veil has fallen. Our acts will have revealed who we are, and they shall hunt us down, and no person shall give us shelter. This is the secret covenant by which we shall live the rest of our present and future lives. For this reality will transcend many generations and lifespans. This covenant is sealed by blood, our blood. We the ones who from heaven to earth came, the fallen angels. This covenant must never, ever be known to exist. It must never, ever be written or spoken for it is the consciousness that will spawn and release the fury of the prime creator upon us, and we shall be cast to the depths from whence we came, remain there until the end of time of infinity. So this is the plot of the fallen angels, or the ones that their offspring, because the fallen angels are bound. But the point is, these demonic entities, this is where all this is coming from. This is their covenant. We see it all playing out right now. We see all of it right now. This lady, it's Dana Horachowski, speaks. You guys can go to the abyss for 1,000 years. You're the evil Jesuit dragon race. I wanted you to see that because the statement they made themselves is their downfall. If they ever find out that we are their equal, celestial, if we are their equal, then we're done. And that is happening. They are done. But I want you to see, God has already changed our timeline. When we began to wake up, our timeline changed. All right. Let me finish up here. Now you see the evil plan that Satan has planned for you and me, God's men. But know this today, just like their covenant stated, we are awakened and we are gunning for him and we're taking him out, meaning Satan, the devil. They are scared to death, and don't ever forget that. God's sons are beginning to manifest in the earth. We're walking in the footsteps of Jesus and following the Spirit, and there will be instances that we come upon when we are going to see some seemingly impossible things happen. I want you to never forget just how in control you really are. Okay.